I had this weird feedback loop of every time I go through a man's phone, I find information very pertinent to me.
She said, what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast
where two unqualified friends,
two unhinged comedians,
determine once and for all what is good
and what is bad. Hello and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. In each episode of the podcast, a guest shares a morally questionable story from their life, and we decide if they are in the right or the wrong. Now, Sterling, I gotta tell you,
you're looking worse for the wear.
Well, first of all, I've had a haircut. Thank you for complimenting it.
No, that's not what I was talking about.
I know, but we've been on this call for a while, and you haven't complimented my haircut.
I'll be honest, I really didn't. I didn't know that you got a haircut.
Well, it's shorter, so thank you.
You look really beautiful.
That doesn't feel sincere,
you
but...
You look the best you've ever looked.
Great. But, no, what I was going to say is, the guy who cuts my hair has all of a sudden developed this personality.
Uh-huh.
And it's conflicting for me. Like, trying to find a place in New York to get a haircut that's reasonably priced was very challenging. And you know me, I will talk to anyone about literally everything. So anyways, I found this barbershop that's in Hell's Kitchen, right in the mecca of homosexuality, right?
Of course.
I've been going there for about 3 years, and I've been trained because they never talked. I would just come in. They're like, what do you want? I want this.
What do you say? I want a three on top, two on the sides?
No, I want it one on the sides and a little longer on the top. And then they would just do it. And like at first, I was uncomfortable. I felt like I had to be like, I'm a podcaster. But then after a while, I settled in. I was trained not to talk to them, right?
I like it that your first blurt... I'm a podcaster. That is not what I would blurt. Let me tell you that. I would I try to never reveal that.
Wow, you're really coming in strong. Hit me, not complimenting my haircut, second guessing my choices.
No. You know I love you. Okay, you're in there with three straight men.
The past couple of sessions I've gone in, they've developed this loud, boisterous personality that's a little off-putting, and I don't like it.
The three of them have the same new personality?
Maybe they recognize me from podcasting, and they've felt like they can let their guard down.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're like, we've listened to every episode. Now we feel like we're just friends.
But it did, the conversation style, and it's not like they were saying like truly bad stuff, but the conversation style really took me back to high school, being in like the locker room, listening to footballers talk and trying to be like mask presenting.
Well, I don't think you should be kind of like in a little neighborhood like Hell's Kitchen, be going to the one straight barbershop.
But just because they're not gay doesn't mean they're not a gay barbershop.
But don't you think you should be supporting maybe hairdressers that are queer in Hell's Kitchen?
Well, if they have a cheaper rate, then yes.
So you kind of only are like standing up for civil liberties if the price is right?
That is correct. It's expensive here.
Oh, please. How much is a haircut? How much is a haircut?
So now I'm paying 40.
How much do you think my haircut costs?
I'm going to say 175.
Wow. You kind of think I'm a real big spender, I guess.
Oh, well, I'm complimenting you. I'm saying you have nice
hair.
See, that's how a compliment works. Well, that's my final answer, 175.
That's way high. I've never paid that much. That's literally crazy. I'm kind of usually clocking in. Ideally, it's really hard to find it. I try to find like 95 to 100 pre-tip because I really am only getting a trim. I'm not doing anything. I don't get my hair dyed.
Charge you $100 to trim your hair?
Yeah, dude. It's usually 125. Like, it's actually hard to find something under 125 for long hair right now. Well, my hairdresser, I've actually followed her around Los Angeles. She's actually switched three studios and I've only been here for a year and a half. She just switched and she's like, I'll give you the same rate as it was the last place. It was 95 at the last place. New place, 165.
What?
Plus tip.
Okay, Sterling, I know in our last episode you were like, I need to pick up a new hobby. This is it. Learn how to cut your own hair.
Learn how to cut my own hair. Yeah, I know, literally. Also, really quickly, in case you're in Los Angeles, my comedy show Phones Down is tomorrow night, April 4th at Lyric Hyperion at 7:30 p.m. Come check us out. I'm going to be revealing like truly the most humiliating artifact I have found on Facebook.com, I believe, unless I get scared and don't reveal it. So come on out. The tickets are in the description of this episode and in my bio. We have some really fun comedians on the lineup. So hope to see you guys tomorrow night.
Now, if you guys are listening to this perhaps on Friday, well, you missed a really good show and you should have gone on Thursday.
And our next show is June 12th. So mark your calendars.
So get ready. You need to make it up to Stirls.
Well, Blair, I'm really excited for our guest we have coming on today.
Absolutely.
She is so, so funny. You've probably seen her headlines on Reductress, The Onion. She's an incredible writer and also stand-up comedian. Go check out her shows in New York. Please welcome our guest today, Meredith Dietz. Well, Meredith, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Right off the bat, game recognized game, Warby Parker in the house.
Yes, game recognized game. The other day, someone accused me of, because my prescription's really soft, they're like, you don't even need your glasses. I would argue if they make my face more symmetrical, I do need them.
Oh, yeah. When I don't wear my glasses, everyone's like, why are you so tired? I'm like, I'm actually fully rested.
Yeah. That's true. I feel like that does happen.
Why are your eyes so small and beady? And I'm like, I'm going to kill myself.
I tried on Blair's glasses once that were kind of like, it kind of made me look like...
Had a van.
Well, yeah, I was like, oh, this is giving me a little serial killer.
Yeah.
It was like cool and hip, but it was like, that was like an era that was like kind of cool.
Do you have any glasses like that that look like you might have a crime documentary about yourself?
I honestly, these are the closest I have.
I think you're fine.
We're right next to my drawer where I'm like all the ghosts of all my personalities. And then these were the most fun. These look less like I have a van and more like I have a ukulele. And what's worse?
Oh, yeah.
And what's the greater crime?
They also give fun aunt vibe. Like, hey, I'll get you some alcohol.
Thank you. And I would. I would get any child boxed wine.
Like, I have those glasses and because I would see hot people with those glasses. And I was like, maybe I should do it. And then it's just like, you know what? Don't do what hot people do.
Yes. It's like the reverse engineer, like causation correlation. I'm like, oh, the glasses aren't making them hot. They can wear glasses because they're already hot.
Okay. So Meredith, you do obviously a ton of shows all the time in New York.
Yes.
I feel like I'm still in my head, like dipping my toe, even though I've been doing shows for a billion years. I haven't done stand-up for that long. I sort of had something happen to me last night.
Tell me.
I was at a show, which was a mic, which is an open mic, which is always a scary place because I'm practicing for a show for next week. And anyways, I got there and I realized the host of it is actually a man who sent me a message on Hinge last week. And then I don't like him back.
Okay.
I don't think twice that we go to this open mic, which he is the host of last night. And I'm like, oh my God. And then in part of my stand-up, I talk about kind of how disturbing the men that have been liking me on Hinge are. And ooh. I'm like, I've obviously quickly kind of changed the wording slightly, but have you ever kind of had it happen where you're doing
have
stand-up
you done
and
that?
You're doing, are you ever doing stand-up and you're kind of talking about something and then realizing the, either like the person or thing you're talking about is kind of like in the room with you?
I do that every day, brother. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? I had a joke the other day because somebody, first of all, I completely feel that, and everyone has a different relationship with like privacy and their jokes and stuff. I'm someone where I think the gift of stand-up is being able to address the elephant of the room. And it's not only like a gift, but like the necessity. So I'm someone who's famously, I hate using that word, but it is. I'm like, well, here's the thing. They say if you are eating somewhere, take a big old shit right there. They say shit where you eat.
They say that. They do say that. I've heard that.
I will say there's so much deniability with just like not responding to a Hinge like. If you had ghosted him, I think this is murkier, but it's just like he doesn't know if you are serious about Hinge and you don't know if he even like remembers liking you. Like, you know what I mean? It's all casual.
Yeah. Anyways, kind of a lot going on last night. I'm still decompressing, as you can see.
Honestly, you got to think about this, though. He probably saw it and he was like, boy, I dodged a bullet.
No, I know. I'm like, he probably got the ick from me. No, I literally said the same thing to my friend on the ride home. I was like, well, he saw me doing comedy and he's like throwing up, which same.
No. But I think like you saying like kind of course correcting and like what your jokes are. I think some people apply like the wrong amount of stakes to fucking open mics. Trying out a new joke is never worth like hurting the feelings of someone in the room. Like I see people so spitefully, adamantly do breakup material when the person is in the room. And I'm like, what if you just told a different story that night? Be a better writer, be a better person.
It's very funny you said that, Meredith, because we had a show back in January and I was kind of going through some stuff, but I was like, I'm going to write something out to perform. So I wrote it out and I read it to my friend and she just sat there and she was like, you know, maybe you take the show off.
No way.
Just like, you just host and not perform.
Well, that's a good friend.
I would say kind of not the first girl to have said this, but it's kind of like comedy is like time plus strategy, right? In some things. Sometimes it's just goofy. And I think if you really don't have that time element, sometimes.
It was sad.
It's
it was
just sad.
Yeah, sit on gold. That's what one of my friends said once. They were like, you're allowed to just like be like, this is going to be funny one day. If it's funny now, it will still be funny in a month. Try it in a month.
Which brings us to our sponsor, antidepressants.
The concept of SSRIs.
Okay, so Meredith, I feel like something that you're known for slightly on the internet is a kind of little tussle you've had with boy genius.
Oh my God.
Phoebe Bridgers.
Yes.
I'm like, I found something on the internet. No. Can you please tell listeners kind of what's been going on, what happened, and has there kind of been any contact between you guys?
Oh my gosh, yes. So for anyone who's not aware, the way Reductress started was it was more of like a true like Cosmo women's media parody. And so I love them. I had one headline that was pretty viral and was like a lot of memes. And it was too tired to pee, too full of piss to sleep. When in an interview with Boy Genius, I think describing the song, oh, I love this song from the record. What was it called? Not Strong Enough. So they were describing that song and like what the song means. And Phoebe's describing how it's sort of about just like you have like fuckboy energy and you kind of like willfully lose executive function and use that as an excuse to maybe be shitty to people. And she described it and she was like, you know, it's like when you're like too tired to pee, too full of piss to sleep. And it gets a big laugh. And people kept cropping that video and attributing the quote to her. And here's the thing. I feel like I'm a very generous person with parallel thinking. If there is a joke that doesn't have to do with like a unique thing that happened to you one time, someone else has gotten to it first. It's not an original concept for me, but it was very funny because just having so many friends online and so many comics who just were absolutely in the trenches for me. So every time people were like, this is a Phoebe Bridgers quote, they'd be like, actually, she was quoting this very viral meme, which timeline wise, I think it makes sense that she was kind of saying it as a quote of the meme. This one of my best friends in the world was very excited to give me a birthday present. I don't know if you can read it. She got a hand stitch, too tired to pee, too full of piss to sleep. Quote Phoebe Bridgers.
I love
That's amazing.
Just to fuck with me.
In hearing this, you seem to be putting up a brave front, but I hear someone who's been hurt. And we like to occasionally allow for a space where we can do a little role play exercise.
Oh wow, goodness. We haven't done one of these in a while.
Yeah, we haven't done one in a while. And Sterling's Phoebe Bridgers impersonation, amazing.
Acting nonchalant, you're already doing it.
So I'm going to set the scene. You're both at the Olive Garden in Times Square.
Mm.
Yeah, Phoebe is already sitting there eating her soup, salad, and breadsticks, and you both catch each other's eyes. Begin when ready.
Phoebe, why are you eating alone? Where's Bo Burnham?
Ugh, well, you know how tall he is.
I do, babe. I do.
Got stuck in the doorway, but he's on his way. Had to call the fire department, but saved him some breadsticks, of course.
Of course. And I see that your soup is empty, as are three wine glasses around you. You must have to use the bathroom soon, right?
Yeah, nice introduction.
Yeah, I'm actually full of piss, but I'm kind of feeling a little sleepy. This is why I usually have Bo around. He actually carries me to the bathroom.
Oh, well, not all of us have famous musical comedians to carry us to the bathroom. Some of us actually struggle with the executive dysfunction of being, you know, too tired to pee, too full of piss to sleep. Does that sound familiar to you?
Oh my God.
Does that sound familiar to you?
That's so crazy.
Drag her.
Did you see that video that I did? I came up with that. That's so funny that you're quoting back to me my own quote.
That's crazy. Because here, I pull up my phone right now. I have the receipts. I'm pulling up my camera roll. I say, I'm sorry, Phoebe, that's a naked photo of myself. I'm sorry, Phoebe, that's another naked photo of myself. Oh, screenshot. Reductress headline by Meredith Teets. Too tired to pee. Too full of piss to sleep. February 2021, I think. I don't know. Huh. That's fascinating. Do you think there's any chance We arrived at these ideas organically and maybe through osmosis. This is a meme you saw and reshared at one point and actually didn't invent yourself.
She's gooped.
I'd say that. I mean, like...
Ooh, she's a loss for words.
I'm sure we probably just came up with that separately, but congrats. Your career, I hear Reductress pays a lot, so...
All right, Meredith, how do you feel?
What catharsis this has been.
Yeah, right?
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
You host a show called Off Menu in New York. And so we have kind of a little game based on that concept of Off Menu. So we play a game on this podcast called Heaven or Hell. And we're going to present some different scenarios for you. You're going to decide if they're heaven, hell, or if you're kind of in different purgatory.
Okay.
These are kind of different scenarios, which I loosely use the term off menu with, that you're going to decide how you feel about them. They're kind of just like something's a little, you'll get it. I think you'll understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Blair, do you want to kick us off?
A flight attendant and you really hit it off as pals during your drink order. And they whisper, I don't normally do this, but want to come sit in the back of the plane and gab with us? Would that be a heaven or hell for you?
Heaven.
Okay.
Gab. Oh my God. I've been through the ringer in the service industry. I love the idea of just hearing them complain about other passengers. Yes. Gabbing on a flight.
Even on the back of the plane? Like sometimes it can be kind of bumpy back there. No windows really.
You guys are assuming that I didn't have the cheapest ticket by the bathrooms anyways.
Oh, true. It's just a hop, skip, and a leap back there.
Yeah. I'm already there. At least talk to me like an equal.
They had literally just come out with a cart.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is, I was the first person they served. Yeah. That's heaven. I like that one.
Okay. Next one. You order your steak rare at a restaurant and the waiter winks at you and says, the health department might hate me for saying this, but if you want it rare, we can do that for you.
Oh, ooh, I do like a rare steak. But when the words health department do send a shiver down my spine.
Right.
Having like my family business growing up was like a restaurant and I like served there forever. And I like saying served like I did army time, but I did. And I, to me, I think that one's hell because I'm like, I think this meat was mishandled.
Now, when you say you like rare steak, like it doesn't gross you out when you dig in and the blood just kind of.
I'm not a big meat eater in general, but that doesn't really gross me out. I love blood.
That's not true.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Blood. Love it.
I just said that sentence. I don't agree with it. I'm fine with blood.
You're purgatory with blood. We got it.
Yes. I'm purgatory with blood.
Number three. You're running late to a very important meeting, and your Uber driver says, I know a back route. You buckled up, right?
That sort of uncertainty and the fact that I'm already running late, which I'm so bad at handling, this is hell. When you said you're running late, I was like, whatever happens here on out, that's hell for me. I also am like, I know a back route. I'm like, in New York City? Are we going to go through the sewers?
Okay, this happened to me. I flew into JFK and I got an Uber to come back to my apartment. And you know how you can follow along on the map and it tells you what route they were going? They kept changing their route and it was taking a lot longer than usual to the point where it came up with a message saying, are you okay? And I was like,
yes,
am I? I was like looking, I was like, should I get out of this car?
What?
Now? Yeah.
That has also happened to me with JFK. And the guy was like, I'm so sorry. I'm a little confused. And I was like, oh, I'm going to die today.
What did you both say? Did you say something?
He didn't say anything. He was dead silent. It just came up on my phone.
But what did you say? Did you say like, hey, are we going the right way?
I was afraid to talk. I didn't want to anger him. So I just sat in the back of the Uber and I was just like,
for the best.
I grabbed onto my bag in case I needed to open the door and run out. But eventually, 2 hours later, I got home. So he just really wanted to take a scenic route. And I saw a lot of Queens that day. Queens and Brooklyn.
I actually did. I did taxi home from the airport the other month, LAX, Los Angeles. And because I was like, I'm doing taxi. Okay, being a little better. And then this man, I kind of told him, he's like, what neighborhood? I was like, oh, I can give you the address. And he's like, I got it. And then I said my neighborhood and he was like, in California. And I was like, yeah. He's like, are you sure? I was like, he's like, Los Angeles? I was like, uh-huh. And then I was like, just drive east. I was like, he was just using basically compass. I don't know. It took so long and it was double the price of Uber. So unfortunately,
damn,
I didn't do it again.
All hell all around.
This is a unifying moment for all of us.
Yes.
Okay, next one. On a third date, your date smiles at you and says, I know this might be a little fast, but I like you a lot. And it's my best friend's wedding this weekend. Any chance you'd be my plus one?
Ooh, this is such an interesting one for me. I'm not someone who like falls hard and fast at all. In fact, I've only ever dated people that I've been close friends with for at least a calendar year.
Okay. Okay.
Which actually, huh, is that actually a different issue to unpack? Maybe. I'm addicted to a friend's lovers. I think though, just going to a wedding and like observing, as long as I felt, here's the thing. I think purgatory if it's a man, heaven if it's a woman. I like being a plus one at a wedding. I like talking to new friend groups and being the outsider.
And free cake.
I feel like it really depends on where the wedding is. Like, is it kind of a wedding in New York that you're like, oh, this is like a night out? Or is it like, oh, we're traveling to Bora Bora that I have to get a quick flight or something?
That is so true.
I think it's kind of heaven. It's just like, I feel like sometimes people can put a lot of stakes on like meeting the significant other's friends. Are you even a significant other on a third date? No, but or whatever you want to be.
If they are on the same page as me, as I'm like, hey, I'm doing this because it sounds like a fun, quirky thing, but we're not actually heightening the relationship in any way. That's fine. If they're like, I'm doing this because I'm pretty sure we're going to be official, I'm going to be like, fuck no, sorry.
Okay.
You got 365 more days of being my friend, and then maybe.
Okay. You and your friend are on a hike and stumble across a no trespassing sign. Your friend waves you and says, rules are meant to be broken. Come on. Heaven or hell?
Heaven. I am that friend. Well, it depends where, but for me, I'm like Pennsylvania and Virginia and like have absolutely, it's like, if I get shot, I get shot. I don't know. I like trespassing. I very much so, would rather just like get yelled at and be like, I'm sorry, I'm really dumb and ignore those signs.
Yeah, act dumb, yeah.
And see the beautiful place where I'm supposed to be.
But I did actually just kind of go under a gate in Griffith Park that was closed. The gates closed at sunset. It wasn't even sunset and it was randomly locked.
Yes.
And I was like, we're just going to go around it. I can see people on the other side of the trail. It's a little adventure. I like that.
I love that.
I'm too nervous. As a kid, I was afraid to walk around in my neighborhood on the off chance there's a rogue dog going around and biting people.
Oh, no.
I had that visual in my head. No one in my neighborhood had dogs, but I was like, one could get loose and be hungry.
This episode is brought to us by SSRIs. Oh, you've just been ruled by fear since day one. My thing is, like, I will not trespass if it's disrespecting, like, a person's private property, that I can do. But if it's like, a preservation thing, no, I'm not a little shit.
Okay, your last one. Out at a karaoke bar, your family member grabs the mic and says, Meredith, come up and do one of your little skits.
Help. Actually, that one was mean. That one was mean. How dare you?
Do you have people called it your little skits ever?
Oh, of course. And it's always like you can hear if someone's doing that because they mean well versus being like condescending.
Oh, yeah. I think they mean well in this scenario, but it's like the word skit. I'm like, please retire that. That is not.
Makes your skin crawl. I also, it's so funny the word skit. I couldn't agree with you more because if a family member says it, I'm like, what I do is art and business. How dare you? But then with my friends, I'm like, we're just doing our little skits.
Yeah.
That is, they're not wrong. All I'm ever doing is a little skit. Like, who gives a fuck? But the idea of like, the thing of like, tell me a joke. It's like, you don't understand that you No one has passed in that situation. No one has succeeded in that environment at all. It's so funny.
Okay, well, Meredith, we've come to the portion of the podcast, and I think you know why you're here. You've done something where it's maybe hard to tell if you are in the right or the wrong, and Blair and I are etiquette experts, so we're going to be here to decide if you exhibited good or bad behavior. So whenever you're ready, jump in.
Beautiful. I think this is one I'm hoping is opened up to, like, the hypotheticals and the principle of the thing, because I won't get into the specifics of certain players. Overall thesis, or logline, whatever, is I have caught a boyfriend trying to cheat because I was snooping through his phone.
Okay.
I find it to be, like, sort of like what I did wasn't right, but it's completely asymmetrical crimes. And so obviously I'm biased in this situation, but for me, I'm like, yeah, the means of finding out the information were wrong, but, like, thank God I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And
so true.
Especially because in this situation, it's one where the first time I wasn't going on the phone to snoop, I was going through the texts to find a TikTok I had sent him. Also, the, like, relationship was a thing where, like, I knew his phone passcode. He would, like, hop in the shower and I'd be like, can I be on TikTok on your phone? And he'd be like, yeah, sure thing.
You were friends for 365 days before.
Huh. That is, is that true? Were we? Yeah, that's crazy. Were we best friends? Yeah. I was looking for, a TikTok I had sent, and then I saw a text from a woman, a name that I'd never heard him mention before. And, like, the text preview said, I'm still single. So, like, dot, dot, dot. And I was like, oh, what bitch is telling my boyfriend that she's still single? And I clicked on it, and it was him saying that to her. And there were a bunch of texts going back up, and nothing ever happened physically, but it was him saying 6 months into our relationship that he was still single. So then, we talk about it. I take him back. All this happens.
Wait, so
all
he's
this
stuff in the happens. Shower. Can we be in this scenario with you?
Oh, okay. He is not. This time he's not in the shower. He is.
Oh, sorry.
He is laying next to me in bed.
Okay. So wait, hold on. He was showering when you saw the text. You held on to the information.
No, I misheard.
The showering was like a different, like, sorry. The showering was just like, oh, just so you know.
Just so you know, he takes a shower. Okay.
Just so you know, this was a bathed boy. This night was a night where he's laying next to me in bed. We had been at a party, so we were both drunk, unfortunately. And that happens, and he, like, confesses immediately, and it's a whole bigger, like,
yeah.
I was able to do a second chance. Let's try to work on this, and we start dating again, and it's, you know, really open communication, like, trying to rebuild trust, all that kind of stuff. I still, and this is where it's pretty unethical. I still go through his phone from time to time. He never changed his passcode. He still leaves it in the room with me, and he never deletes texts. So there was another time where I do look in his phone again, and I see a text from a different woman, and he once again is flirting. And so then it's over for real. But as he brought up again, he was like, well, you were obviously the relationship wasn't, like, repaired because you were still going through my phone. And I'm like, that's true. Here's the thing. I'm snooping. I love to snoop.
Wow. Okay. So wait. So the second time you went through the phone,
was this just a direct snoop, or were you looking for another TikTok?
No. Now it's direct snooping.
Okay.
Where is he? Is he in bed, shower, somewhere else in the home?
He was building a shelf in the next room.
Okay.
Are you immediately saying, like, "Hey, I just found this"? Are you, like, locking it and keeping it and, like, waiting for a bit to bring it up?
I remember it as my brain really hits snooze on the information, which I guess is just, like, denial, you know, in shock.
Yeah.
And so he comes back into bed, and we start watching TikToks, and then it took 15 minutes. TikTok is
same phone or two different phones?
You guys are really watching. It's kind of sponsored by TikTok.
same phone. And my body just all of a sudden, like, I'm like, we're just, like, cuddled up, and I just, like, it hits me, it all washes over, and he was just like, what's wrong? And I'm like, and I say, like, why did you do this? And it's sort of more like, I'm not, like, busted, I'm out of here. It's more just, like, a very sad, like, I hate that I had to look through every phone. I hate that every time you were caught and never came to me with this information. And I really, it's so, this is where I think I'm unethical. I'm just like, I I can't tell you guys enough. I'm just not that apologetic for going through someone's phone. And my thing, it's such a violation. I can hear it. I would never go through someone's journal. But I do have this weird, I have this weird feedback loop of every time I go through a man's phone, I find information very pertinent to me.
How often would you say you're snooping even outside of relationships?
Oh, not at all. I'm being dramatic.
What do you mean? You mean romantic relationships, Blair?
Yeah, like romantic. Are you doing this with friends, family?
Never. No. Yeah. It's really only if it was a romantic partner.
Okay.
At the time, just so we can get all of the facts, you were like exclusive, official, monogamous, like that had been stated out loud.
Oh, yeah. We were together.
Yeah.
Like, how was it stated? Were you at dinner and he was like, let's just do this baby girl.
Phoebe Bridgers was there or?
It was Olive Garden. No, it was a very sweet, we're having good friends and the haha, unless, putting out feelers of being kind of flirty with a friend. So we were being, the flirtiness was ramping up and up, and then we agreed to go to a show together, and then we walked back to his neighborhood, and then we watched a movie, and then basically just turned into an all-nighter, and we just kind of kept putting another movie on, and then we put another movie on, and then it's 5 a.m. and I'm like, he's like, let's go get bagels, and we did that, and then finally it was really 7 a.m. and I was like, hey, so why do you think I'm still here? And we talked about it, and we were like, I have feelings for you, I have feelings for you.
Did he take off your glasses at any moment and be like, I see the real you?
Oh, God.
And, oh, shoot, your face is asymmetrical and busted.
Hold on, let me put those back on.
Let me put those back on.
Wait, so because you guys were friends ahead of time, did you, know of any of his, behavior in prior relationships that might have been a little suspicious beforehand?
I did, and that's what was so shocking is there really was nothing. He was in a long-term relationship before me, and that was it. And it was... That's why we had a lot of talks about that. What's up? Where I was a little bit like, why me? Why would this be the first time this came up? And he did have a pretty good justification for that. That I won't get into because I don't want to air. I should say no hard feelings towards this person. I think still a good person who had this one good boy with a good heart.
Okay, this is kind of maybe this is really toxic. So actually, Meredith, you can tell me if this is bad. I kind of am like. Don't go, I think ideally, don't go searching in someone's phone for things that you know will hurt you. And I'm going to put a little asterisk next to it, which is to go through, I would think to go through, say you went into his phone and you put your name in the search bar of texts.
Oh my God, I would never do that.
Oh, do you know what I'm saying? That's sometimes it's there are safe spaces, I think, in a person's phone that's I need to blow off steam and not talk a little shit, but probably with your friends, hopefully something not terrible. But I would think for myself, sometimes I would go to my friends to be like, oh, I'm going through this thing with X person that I'm I obviously don't want them to see that. And I'm not but you need a space to be able to do that. Then I'm don't go searching for your own name, maybe. And that's my asterisk. But I think when I have been in a relationship, not that I have ever looked, I would assume your phone is open game. I would have no qualms about you going through my phone. I think, again, unless you're searching your own name. And then I'm like, okay, well, there might be a little couple things I might have said, whatever.
Uh-huh.
It just in terms of oh, if you generally go to someone's texts, you're not and you see a name. I don't know. I don't think that's quite off limits.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Because you said you went to his phone to find the text that you sent. Why didn't you look in your phone?
That's so true. I easily could have. I was just playing on his phone. It's funny. It's funny to place, because I agree completely with what you're saying. It's I don't remember going in and searching, because you do need to be able to vent about your significant other, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And that level of thing. And also, that's why I'm I would never go through someone's diary or journal. But why was I on his phone and not mine? It could have been something as lazy as mine was across the room and his was next to me.
And how big is this room? About 2 or 3 miles?
These are the big hard-hitting questions.
I'm in it and I'm like, oh. I think there is a thing of subconsciously, I bet there was nothing going on in the relationship that would suggest it. But for instance, my childhood, my mom cheated on my dad. And I think I learned snooping at a very early age. So I definitely think I just have that like subconscious instinct to like protect myself and find that information before it can hurt me. But I don't remember looking for it. You could not underestimate my shock and like disbelief when I saw it, because it was so out of character. There was nothing wrong with the relationship that I knew of. There was no part of me was like, oh, we're fighting, I bet something's up. I just was like in his phone.
Right.
Well, Sterling, how are you feeling? What is your assessment?
I think this is good behavior, 100%. I think that the first time kind of was on accident that she did see this. Then to kind of be snooping and going through occasionally to see if your significant other is kind of cheating on you, which like whatever cheating in quotes of whatever you want to define it as. Yeah, it's kind of like, well, of course. And the fact she one wasn't like covering it up / like coming to you. Also, you did ultimately get out of that relationship. So like you doing that hopefully spared you some time of like continuing in something that like someone was not being completely honest with you. That like it was like ultimately like self-protection. And if he has a little baggage of like, well, I'm scared now that someone's going to go through my phone, it's like, well, just don't be shady. Like, I don't know. Like, you shouldn't have that fear if you're like being upfront and like not doing shady stuff. And like the only reason you were doing it is because you kind of caught him doing that once. So, and then like you didn't like stay in it and be like, let's keep fixing. I think if you were like doing that and then like kind of like doing self, not like self-harm, but like, you know, like,
yes,
continuing in that even after seeing all this stuff and then still snooping and like all that kind of stuff, I'd be like, maybe not the best because you're not like learning that lesson, I guess, or like getting out. But I think you like found the information, you got out. And so I'm going to say good behavior. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Well, you know, listening to your story, while I applaud his regular bathing habits, I think that is important, you know, especially in a relationship. I think he's an idiot if he's just like, yeah, you can use my phone, and he's like doing this. So he kind of brought it on himself.
I know. I'm like, change that password, bud.
Yeah. If you're going to cheat, cheat better, right?
Cheat better. That's what we always say on this podcast.
You need a win after Phoebe Bridges ripped you off.
Bridges, even.
Bridgers.
Oh, it's Bridgers. Well, I'm old and I don't listen to her. But I know she exists, and I know she hurt you. And that's not fair. So you've been through a lot, and you need a win. So I am definitely saying good behavior.
What a validating podcast.
Meredith, you've been officially deemed good behavior.
And just so you know, we know what it's like to win awards and not be prepared to have a speech. So, girlfriend, we got you.
Okay, just these are my words, no gun to my head. This is exactly a true thing that I feel, and it has happened. Wow. I truly am honored, you guys. I really needed this win. It was hard to say. Earlier this week, I posted a 10-minute long video explaining why Kate Middleton's video is an AI deepfake and Kensington Palace threatened to have me banished to the Tower of London, which I didn't even know they did anymore. Anyways, all to say, I really needed this. Thank you.
Wow.
You've had a 3-for-3-some here, you know?
3-for-3-some.
What a week. Well, Meredith, thank you so much for coming on our podcast today. Can you tell listeners where to follow, find you, and any upcoming things to plug?
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me. I feel so vindicated. No.
Yeah. Good.
I loved the heaven or hell stuff, too. That was so fun. I'm at deets.m on Instagram, DIETZ, and deets_Meredith at Twitter and TikTok. And yeah, follow at Off Menu Comedy for live comedy in the Lower East Side every Sunday.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye. Bye.
Do you think that was good?